Good morning, CHD. Welcome to Pediatric Perspectives, where we are looking at children's health challenges from a different perspective, one that includes critical thinking, one that's not afraid to give you the honest truth. I'm your host, Dr. Paul. Today, my guest is someone very special to me personally, and some of you may know her well. It's Dr. Christiane Northrup. So good to have you on the show.
It's so good to see you, Paul. You know, I always think you and I graduated from the same medical school, and at the time, I loved it there. It was, you know, wonderful, and how things have changed. But here we are, circling back to bring our knowledge to a new generation, which is priceless. So thank you, CHD, for making this possible.
And yes, thank you. For folks who don't know this incredible woman, you are truly a visionary pioneer in women's health. Having been board certified in OBGYN, former clinical professor of OBGYN at the University of Vermont College of Medicine, and three-time New York Times bestseller, Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom, The Wisdom of Menopause, and Goddesses Never Age. Boy, I think a lot of women are going to want to read that one. I was looking over your bio, and I had forgotten that you've written so many other books. I mean, just so many powerful books. My own journey, I remember last time we were together, I was interviewing you for my show With the Wind, and you made some comment where you were seeing something within me that I hadn't even seen myself. And I felt very uplifted by you. And then I see that you've got this book about making life easy, how the divine inside can heal your body and your life. I've started listening to it. I'm getting my own copy, and this is right in line with, you know, where I'm at in my journey. So thank you for that as well.
Wonderful. I think that we are in the middle of this kind of revival. It's not religious, but a revival of connecting with the divine, with God. Because if you don't have that and you don't get it, then your life, I like to say, it's kind of a booze cruise on steroids in rough weather. But once you know that we can be divinely guided, it changes everything.
Yeah. No, and your approach is clearly of unity of mind, body, emotions, and spirit. And you're teaching men and women, you know, how to create health by turning into their inner wisdom. So I just love that. I thought what we might do to tap into your knowledge as an OBGYN who's also written so extensively on these issues. CHD has just released a Parent's Guide to Healthy Children from Preconception to Early Childhood. We might touch on some of the topics that they've addressed there because, folks, this is a great resource. Of course, you yourself have so many great resources in this area. But how about if we started with preconception planning? I mean, what should expectant or wannabe parents be thinking about?
Okay. I remember a slide that I used to use in the olden days, and it said, the time to start feeding your baby right is 2 years before it's born. And I always loved that because what you need to be thinking about when you are wanting to conceive, and it's never too early to start this, is you want to fertilize that garden. You want to remineralize. You want to put in the nutrients that you need so that the minute conception happens, all the building blocks for a healthy human being are already in place. Now, in the past, 50% of pregnancies have been unwanted and unplanned. That doesn't mean that they won't be wanted later on once the woman kind of gets adjusted to it. But what I would see is people who skipped some birth control pills or they were out drinking and then they realize, oh, wow, I'm pregnant. I would much prefer that women be very, very on purpose about their fertility and their ability to conceive. Fertility is a gift. It's not a curse. It's a gift. So we know, for instance, that women who are on birth control pills have decreased levels of at least 50 different nutrients from the pill itself. And the birth control pill is synthetic hormones. They're not native to the female human body because you cannot patent a naturally occurring hormone. So what that means is your body requires extra B vitamins just to metabolize the synthetic hormones that are in the pill. That's why we say to women, be off the pill for 3 to 6 months before you conceive. However, there are women who conceive, whoop, they stopped the pill and they didn't use an alternative method of conception. And so they've gotten pregnant. Now, the beauty of nature is, despite all that, most babies are born perfectly healthy, but you don't want just okay. We want optimal. We want to give children everything they need so that what happens in the womb sets them up for life. And you and I both know, Dr. Paul, that what happens in the womb affects you your whole life. So there's a few other things that I would say. We just have, now it's finally making the rounds, but we have just gotten in the data sphere the fact that fluoride in the water lowers the IQ of babies in utero.
Yeah,
even 1 point is a big deal. So in this county in North Carolina, they've finally passed a law that they will no longer add fluoride to the drinking water.
Oh, well done.
And that took them years, you know.
Yeah.
So you want to have pure water. You don't want to run around scared all the time. But on the other hand, you want to be replete in B vitamins, which you can get from liver, brewer's yeast, or with a supplement. We also know that if the mother has adequate levels of methylated folic acid, she has a vastly decreased risk of neural tube defects like spina bifida. And I can remember seeing that initial data in the early 80s. And so I would start to make sure that all of my women who were going to conceive were taking folic acid. And it took the American College of OBGYN and the American Academy of Pediatrics about 17 years to say, oh, that's a good idea. So I want everyone to know this, generally speaking, from the time we find something that's perfectly safe to the time that it gets incorporated into mainstream medicine, it's generally 17 years. So the other thing that women need preconception and during pregnancy is enough iodine. There is a term that you don't hear anymore, but it's cretin. Cretin. A cretin is a baby born with inadequate iodine. And so that creates a child who's mentally not up to snuff at all. Now, we don't see that so much anymore, but generally speaking, and there's controversy about how much iron or iodine you need. But in general, what my colleague, Dr. Lee Merritt, points out is that in Japan, people get 12 milligrams a day. You can get this through seaweed, kelp. Yep. In Japan, they're eating a lot of seaweed. You can do it that way. You can take Lugol's solution. And now here's one thing I want women to know. This is important. Because so many people do not have enough iodine in their diet, when they first take it, even a little, even a drop of Lugol's a day, and by the way, Lugol's is a combination of potassium iodide and molecular iodine. It's those two things together. When you start, it takes the other halogens off your cells. So it competes. Iodine competes with bromide, chlorine, fluoride, the halogens. When you start to take iodine, it will push those other things, which are toxic, off your cells. And you can get a rash or you can feel sick or whatever. And then you say, oh, I'm allergic to iodine. That's not it. Mm. You are literally detoxing those other halogens. So you'd want to start really, really slow.
That would be a perfect one to start before you get pregnant, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And then the other thing is the omega-3 fats, particularly DHA.
Yep.
And we know that the heart, the brain, the immune system, the eye is literally made out of this very specific type of omega-3. You find it in wild sockeye salmon, sardines, marine algae. There's a supplement that I used to use all the time called Neuromins, made from marine algae. That is a lot of DHA. And when that's on board prior to conceiving, then you literally have the building blocks for a healthy immune system, healthy heart, healthy brain. healthy nervous system. And those are nutrients that, because we eat way too many seed oils, you know, safflower seed, sesame seed, corn oil, what's that other one? Grape seed oil. These are not good.
We need
the omega-3s. So those are the things that I would tell people. Make sure that you are replete in these things before you conceive. And then it's kind of a spiritual thing too, Dr. Paul. I feel that what women can do is meditate.
As we've been discussing your preconception planning, it's all about minimizing toxins, and we've touched on that, and then making sure you get the key nutrients that often are lacking in the diet. I would just add and ask your opinion about this, two things. One is, so many toxins like glyphosate come through the food.
Yes.
And so cleaning up our diet and really truly going real organic eating and whole food, not stuff that you're buying in boxes, is a very important. Would you agree?
I would agree. And the other thing I would say, though, is we can't be too paranoid about this, because we know with geoengineering, they are spraying people with all kinds of different toxins. There might be parasites. There might be various chemicals. The geoengineering sites have these listed. Also, because they have been spraying glyphosate and so on everywhere, and even organic food has glyphosate in it. And then there's another thing, and that's microplastics. We, in a recent study I saw of the placenta, there wasn't a single placenta that didn't have microplastics in it, from, you know, putting water in plastic bottles and all that. So what I want to say to people, do the best you can, and your body is what they say in the Bible, fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. So I want you to keep your focus on God, so that you're not so paranoid about, oh my God, you know, oh, I just had a glass of wine and I just found out I was pregnant. Well, generally speaking, your body can override all kinds of things. I was always amazed, you know, back in the day when I was delivering babies, the vast majority of them were healthy and fine. Now, what we did to them afterward with all kinds of things, that's a different story. But I've always been amazed that healthy babies, it seems to be nature's plan to not make mistakes, because we know, in the past anyway, about 1 in 6 pregnancies ends in miscarriage. And often in the past, when they studied that, there would be some genetic problem with the baby, and it was nature's way of just making sure that the gestations that made it were healthier. Now, in the era of COVID, with all kinds of different injections pregnant women have been getting, that's not the case now. But I'm going to assume that those of you watching are what we would call vaccine risk aware. And so you're probably avoiding those things.
So since you mentioned it, COVID era, and then of course the shot that was introduced, even though it was not studied per se initially in the trials in pregnant women, they were excluded. They do have data. And from what I can tell, the miscarriage, or if you put it another way, the rate of loss of pregnancy was sky high. Is that your take on the data?
That is exactly my take on the data. And my colleague, Dr. James Thorpe, was so horrified by all of this that he sued the American College of OBGYN and the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology. And they are still recommending the COVID shot for pregnant women. And, you know, you would think you want anything. Okay. So my whole career, pregnant women were told, don't eat tuna. You really should worry about mercury in the fish. And then telling a pregnant woman that she should get a DPT shot and a flu shot in the second trimester. This started in the 90s, and I was horrified.
Yeah, you and me both.
Whoa. Yeah. So in general, you want to avoid inoculations of any kind. I mean, here we are telling women, don't eat tuna fish, and then, but come in for your routine injections in the second trimester, when the brain is being formed and, you know, the whole body is being formed. This makes absolutely no sense.
No sense. No sense at all. So we have sort of transitioned into chapter two of A Parent's Guide to Healthy Children, which is what to do during pregnancy. And we'll talk a little more about that, but I wanted to ask you a question. You know, that 17 years it took for the OBGYNs and pediatricians to recommend folate during pregnancy, I still think they're not making it clear that it needs to be methylfolate, because up to 50% of us are walking around with the MTHFR glitch. And when you have that, regular folate is actually harmful, or could be.
You know, isn't that an interesting question? I got that tested, my own methylation thing, way, way back by one of my doctor friends. And there's no question that there's a whole group of people that just can't methylate very, very well. So in any supplement that you take, make sure that the folate and the B12 are methylated, and then you'll be using the right stuff. Now, it's interesting, Dr. Paul, that back when I was giving folate to my pregnant patients, we didn't know that. So we were given, at least I was saying, okay, dark green leafy vegetables, you know, like nature knows how to methylate the folate. But in general, because so many people are not eating that stuff, they need the supplement. Yeah. So yes, make sure that it is methylated.
Yeah. So folks, if your supplement bottle, your prenatal says folate or folic acid, that's not the right one. It should actually say methylfolate.
That's right.
So let's move on to pregnancy. So you've got a couple, they're pregnant, mom's pregnant. What are the most important things? I know your understanding of mind, body, and spirit, and it's mentioned in the book as well, The Parent's Guide to Healthy Children. Elaborate a little bit on that. It just seems so important.
Well, first of all, you want to eliminate, your baby's made from three things: your connection with spirit, your connection with your body, and then the food that you nourish your body with. So there's a few things you want to pay attention to. Make sure you are grounded. You ground yourself. When you ground yourself, what are you actually doing? You are decreasing cellular inflammation. What's a great way to do it? Probably the best way for a woman to ground herself is to walk in running water. That means on the beach with bare feet, out on your lawn whenever you can. It literally, within 20 minutes, you can decrease cellular inflammation, which is the root cause of all chronic degenerative disease, including preeclampsia, by the way. We don't call preeclampsia a chronic degenerative disease, but it actually is. And so if you got to keep your stress level at a minimum when you are creating the atmosphere for this newborn baby. Now, I want to tell you how important this is. There is a classic book by Thomas Verney, who was a psychiatrist working with the pre and perinatal psychology association. And he wrote a book called The Secret Life of the Unborn Child. And he gives the story of Boris Brot, I believe was his name, who knew the cello line. He became a cellist. And when he would start to practice certain orchestral pieces, he would just know the cello line. Like, how do I know the cello line? And he knew it. And then he talked to his mother about that, who was also a cellist. And she said, oh, those were the pieces that I was playing when I was pregnant with you. Wow. So we need to remember that babies remember what goes on in the womb. They know their father's voice. They know their mother's voice. And they are profoundly influenced by the environment. So what you want to do, when at all possible, is beautiful music, uplifting stories. You want to put yourself in a bubble as much as you possibly can, which is why, you know, we've had so many laws to protect pregnant women. Now, we've repealed a lot of those laws now, but the truth of the matter, we should be helping, you know, politically, right? We're hearing all this stuff about pro-life. Well, my feeling is this. You don't want to just be pro-birth. You want to be pro-life, which means that you want to support that pregnant woman at least through the fourth trimester. And no one understands about the fourth trimester. So let me just tell you about that. It's because you got to plan for it in the pregnancy. The fourth trimester is the baby is born, but that child's breathing, heart rate, sleeping, all of their biorhythms are set by the mother's body. So they go from the internal environment with the placenta to the external environment where the mother's body is the placenta. And Dr. Paul, you might remember those studies they did during the world wars. And one that I found particularly amazing was they had no capacity in the hospitals in World War II for the women who delivered prematurely. So what they did is that they told the women to just wear the baby, which we came to call kangaroo care. But it turned out that the women who stayed home but wore their premature baby on their skin, those babies did infinitely better mm-hmm. than the babies in the hospital in the isolettes. And then, of course, we have all of the work of John Kennel and Marshall Klaus from the 70s and 80s. John Kennel started the first neonatal intensive care unit at Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital in Cleveland. And he pointed out, and this was early on, that they would they would be able to keep a premature baby alive in an isolette, and they got really good at it, and that's your field, you know that. But then they reported on the fact that a very large percentage of those babies, way more than should be, were coming back later to the emergency room battered. And they couldn't figure it out. They had given so much energy to bringing this little preemie up to full weight and then sending them home. Well, that's how we learned about the bonding studies and that there's this sensitive period where you are meant to bond with your baby, to fall in love with your baby. And a lot of stuff that I learned as a young OBGYN was disrupting all of that bonding. Mm-hmm. It's like we really screwed it up. So therefore, with that new science that Klaus and Kennel put forth in their classic mother-infant bonding and then parent-infant bonding, finally, the hospitals would start to leave the baby with the mother. Because I remember this as a med student at Dartmouth. We would drape the patient and the baby would be born. They'd clamp the cord immediately, run it off to the
nurse,
right? To clean it up. Right. And the mother would be, So we realized that was stupid. So there's a couple things. One, you want to plan to have delayed cord clamping. Obviously there are times when the cord needs to be clamped. If it's wrapped around the neck four times, all right.
Sure.
But in general, keeping the baby attached to the umbilical cord until it stops pulsating is a resuscitation. It helps the baby come around. And my colleague, Dr. Larry Pilevsky, would talk about how they would, many times in his training, they'd hand the baby off. And if the baby was obtunded and not doing so well, Larry would put his hands underneath the back of the baby's head and neck and just give the baby positive energy. And he said, and then the baby would finally realize, okay, I'm out in the air now. And the baby would kind of give birth to itself. So as you know,
that's a beautiful story.
There's a lot of traumatic things that are done to mothers.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely.
That you and I know about. So therefore, and it's interesting, Dr. Kelly Brogan, my colleague, who's a holistic psychiatrist, was an MIT graduate in neuroscience. And she had her babies at home because she did all of the research.
In closing this episode, just for our viewers to know how they can get a hold of your information, what's the best place they can go?
DrNorthrup.com, DrNorthrup.com. We got everything there, all my social media, all the books. You know, I have a Substack. We've got an e-news and a blog, you know, anything that you would want to know. It's all there.
Absolutely. I was on there this morning in anticipation of this talk, and wow, it's all there, folks. You got to check this out. You are a gift to our world. Thank you so much for being on the show, and we're going to get you back again.
Great, Dr. Paul. My pleasure.
You can check out my other show, With the Wind, at doctorsinscience.com. You can also reach me directly, even book a coaching session if you wish, at kidsfirstforever.com, the number 4. Both these links are in the show notes. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you next week.
Children's Health Defense is proud to present A Parent's Guide to Healthy Children. This brand new ebook guides those seeking to be parents from preparing to conceive through the early years of life. Learn about the factors that affect fertility, how to plan and prepare for childbirth, how to best care for children in the early years, and how to do it all while avoiding the trappings of pharmaceutical company influence. Download this incredible reference for free only at childrenshd.org/ebooks.
I look forward to running together with the wind at our backs, revealing the science that gives clarity in our world that's full of propaganda and misinformation. Visit our website, doctorsinscience.com. Sign up. Donate if you can. Your support makes a difference. And let's make this the weekly show the world has been waiting for. Thanks for watching. I'm Dr. Paul.